702.
Bruce is on the Money Show.
Okay, pay attention because this one's complicated. I've been waiting for a while for this story to break. It's about a South African healthcare company listed in the UK called Umuti, which was suspended from trade on the London Stock Exchange less than a week after listing and is under investigation by the UK Financial Conduct Authority. Anthony Morris is an investor in Umuti. Just take me back about 100 steps here, Anthony. What exactly is it that Umuti does?
Well, it's not what it was promising to do, which is basically service rural doctors throughout South Africa by giving them discounted prices on pharmaceuticals delivered out of a warehouse in Wynberg and then build hospital step-down facilities. The real challenge, Bruce, was that the listing in its first place shouldn't have been allowed to go ahead because only 72 out of 92 million shares were actually in account of the total share capital issued. And the real challenge and the real problem, it's taken a while to get it obviously out into the public, is that the facilitator of the listing, Connie Van Vliet, as she's known in the UK, actually Connie Van Nieuwkerk, has quite a track record in this country. 2017, disbarred by the FSB for fraud and forgery. 2017, out of bail for a 5.5 million rand fraud, compulsory sequestrated and fined by the then FSCA last year, 46 million rand. Running millions through bank accounts in this country and listing companies in London with the full consent and knowledge of the board, unfortunately, which in terms of Companies Act is a huge problem. So what we have is really a listing that wasn't a listing. LEMS Pharmaceuticals, which is the operating entity inside of Umuti, according to our best advice and our investigators, the warehouse in Wynberg has been empty for a year and a half. The security guards got the keys. There's no medicines inside there. The prospectus itself, which was used, is riddled with errors, spelling errors conveniently, and factual errors and outright lies. And that's a challenge because every time you pick at it, you say, how can a regulatory authority, the Financial Conduct Authority, actually have allowed this listing to go ahead? And the real question is, you know, to what degree is this a comment on actually the system being broken? Because for me and the shareholders you stand for and represent 40 million shares, Bruce, we're kind of caught in a situation where we're promised and guaranteed a £4 listing in documents. The Gen facility of New York that was supposedly coming with £340 million facility, they were paid their £17 million fee in £4 shares. And we were promised a facility, promised a £4 listing, and it listed at 30p and was suspended.
And see, we're getting, you're very close to this and you've got a huge amount of detail, and we run the risk of getting lost in the real nitty-gritty, and you know the stuff off by heart because you've been living and breathing it for some time. Yeah. How did you get invested in this thing? I mean, you're not a somebody who is green to investing. You've got your wits about you. You've ridden a couple of rodeos. How did you get taken in to this particular investment?
I was actually, the modus operandi was the same for many of the shareholders. I was actually introduced to Umuti by someone who I thought was a long-standing friend of mine in Cape Town. No name will be mentioned at this point. And he sort of, in retrospect, was grooming me, kind of, sorry, got a call with London, sorry, dealing with a listing. And then he said, you know, there were extra shares because him and this Connie individual had too many and had to come under a threshold. So we bought shares as other people did, and then there was no confirmation. So for 4 years, there'd been this mystery of no confirmation of the actual shares because they're electronic, and way more shares were sold than are an issue. That's the biggest problem at all. Never mind the fact that there are, you know, material representations of companies that claim transactions that have been audited by well-known auditors, and those transactions just weren't there at all. And that's a challenge.
How did these guys manage, if everything you tell us is gospel, how did they manage to get this past regulatory authorities in the UK who by reputation are fairly ferocious and know what they're doing?
Well, I have my own theories about it. The bottom line is that it would appear as if the FCA did not conduct verification or what we would call FICA or KYC on Connie, because they would have seen that there's only two Connie Van Vliets on the planet. Someone in Rotterdam and someone in South Dakota. So either that or they did conduct it and someone covered it up there. But my bet is they didn't do the verification properly. Neither did the firms, because there have been two legal firms that have resigned and one auditing firm and four different directors. And so their major challenges, I think they've got to look at their system. You know, that's all very well. Those are the colonialists. But us, you know, we've got a challenge if we can have an FSCA allow someone out, listing companies and putting all that money through a bank account. I mean, you know, Bruce, if you go over your overdraft, if you had one, you're going to get a call immediately. And I just don't understand how the systems don't talk to each other to have allowed it to happen.
And where do you stand as things stand at the moment? I mean, here we've got a company. It did list in the UK, rightly or wrongly. It listed. It was then within 6 days suspended from trade. Where do you stand? I mean, I'm sure there's a very high level investigation and the AES team is going to come in and try to unpick this mess. But a mess it is.
Well, I will say on the enforcement side, the people in the authorities have been doing a marvelous job of taking things according to the process, doing things according to the law. My hat's off and enormous respect to the Hawks and the like of them who are looking at that side of things. We sit with a suspended share that effectively the challenges has no value. And I say that because I come from the world of financial services as a speaker, and there's no individual investment broker or planner or firm in the UK that can ever recommend the share again without warning the client that it was suspended because of misleading information in the supplementary prospectus right after. They've got to disclose that. It would be like me saying, Bruce, I've heard this great share, Steinhoff, I think you should pick some up, and not tell you that, you know, if Mr. Uster was still the CEO, for example. So that's why it's tainted. You know, it's all very well saying you'll come back and restore, but the bottom line is that the reasons why it was suspended are because of financial misrepresentation. So one doesn't come back from that easily. So we're sitting there with worthless paper in our hand, impoverished, and just wanting to question the system and see if our story can't change the system. We've had heart attacks, suicides, and a couple of deaths along the way, which has just made this a human tragedy as well.
How much have you lost, personally?
Not that comfortable to say, because it would depend if it was a £4 listing. You know, if it was a £4 listing compared to a 30p listing, if we measured it across everybody, hundreds of millions have been lost. No one would have gone in on a 30p listing that was going to list perhaps sometime in the future. We were always promised 2 months' time, 6 weeks away, and much of the documentation that was provided to dangle us along was fictitious, and that's been proven. And one other thing is, of course, the expenses, the listing expenses that were raised from terrified investors. I wasn't part of that, but millions and millions have been picked up that the board and Connie sort of at the last minute would say, you know, London needs to re-audit this, or the lawyers need this, and pounds would go into the Lehman's bank account but wouldn't leave the country necessarily. So that was a separate business altogether, and we have absolute sworn statements of 20 people sitting with the authorities to attest to that. So it's not an opinion I've given you.
How do you feel? I mean, as somebody who's been taken for many millions, how do you feel in terms of the fact that you're never going to see this money again? It's gone. It's wherever it's gone to, it is gone. I doubt very much that it can ever be collected.
Well, it's like there's short-term suffering and long-term suffering, and many of us and the investors have been clawing and clutching at straws for some years. For me, it's only been a year and a half to 2 years. There have been people for 4 or 5 years who were promised this listing and, you know, took their entire pension and put it into this based on the fact that it was listing just around the corner and all the so-called proof was provided. It's a pill that we swallowed a while ago. Now we're all about saying what lesson can be learned and what story about the system needs to be addressed. Our banks have got to look very, very carefully at the way that they conducted themselves, I can tell you, and I'd love to unpack that on a longer show with someone, because there's been absolute negligence in terms of allowing this to happen, particularly with someone with a record like that.
South African banks or UK banks? Which banks?
South African banks.
So there's a big story to unpack, and I thank you for sharing a part of it with us this evening, Anthony Morris. He's an investor at Umuti, listing in the United Kingdom, suspended after a couple of days with lots and lots of questions.